Hello, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. We're trying to bring you as many different guests and topics that we can to broadcast to you. Our station is 101.5 FM, WHRULP, your Huntley Community Radio Station. With us today is John Buckley from the Huntley, the Witsak Rotary and the Independent Health Organization. John, welcome to Around Town.
Thanks for having me. Before we start, I'd like to say I really like the intro music that you guys got going there.
Thank you very much. We kind of like that too. Starting off, let's talk about your Independence Health and Therapy. You want to tell us something about that, John?
Yeah, absolutely. We're a nonprofit that serves greater McHenry County, so McHenry County and then some of the surrounding communities. Independence Health and Therapy was the outcome of a merger of two nonprofits in 2018. So Family Alliance, which was located in Woodstock and had a location here in Huntley, and then Adult and Child Therapy Services. And so we were looking at the landscape of healthcare and community and needs and felt that bringing these two organizations together would create more opportunity for service to the people in need, as well as to be more efficient and effective in how we operate. It'll be 4 years in August.
So now that you brought those two organizations together, what services are they running to the community, John?
So prior to the merger, Adult and Child Therapy Services offered physical, speech, and occupational therapy, and that was to folks of all ages, and then and had been in the community for since 1950 at that point, and it was Easter Seals for a period of time and had broken away and become independent in the 90s. And so, you know, people who have lived in their community their entire lives will know it either as Easter Seals or as Adult and Child Rehab Center and then Adult and Child Therapy Services, because we had some name changes. And then Family Alliance focused on older adults, and their core services were behavioral health. So had a geriatric psychiatrist who was out one day a week, and then had behavioral health counseling and support, and then an adult day program. So that is both for folks that are socially isolated as well as for folks that are living with Alzheimer's or some form of dementia. We provide on-site all-day support and activities, and we'll pick folks up, bring them to our facility for the day, breakfast, lunch, and a snack, and then bring them home at the end of the day. So their caregivers and their respites have that opportunity to go about their daily activities while we're taking care of their loved one.
So this is all sponsored through donations and grants?
Right. So we through the merger, we maintained all of those services, but specifically in the behavioral health program, we expanded that to all ages. So we now see pediatric cases for counseling, as well as are in the process of expanding to pediatric psychiatry, and we do psychiatry for adults of all ages. And all of that is funded through a handful of sources. So we get grants from the county through their Senior Service Grant Commission and through the Mental Health Board to provide some level of support. We do absolutely philanthropic work, special events, grant writing. And then we also, in some instances, charge for our services. So we will bill insurance companies, either the commercial insurance, your Blue Cross Blue Shield, your United, but also we take Medicaid and we do sliding scale. And so there is a fee component with that as well. And so that is kind of that structure as to how we pull these different pieces together to make it go.
What have you seen, John, with the pandemic? Have you seen things change? Has there been an uptick or leveling off?
Well, I think everybody has seen an uptick in that demand for behavioral health services, that mental health support. We at one point in this country during the midst of the pandemic, the statistics were indicating that at least half of the country had some form of mental health issue or concern in that time frame. And so kind of across the board, all the agencies are seeing an uptick in demand for behavioral health services. At the moment, we have some openings. We have some staff that are accepting new patients, but that's not really consistent across the board. Everybody's really struggling to find staff and to fill that. Our day program, that was closed for 8 months out of 12 by state order, not us specifically, but day programs and congregate programs were closed. So in that first 12 months of COVID from March to March, we were closed for eight of those 12 months and had to figure out how to effectively serve that population right. In that time frame. And I think what we have seen coming out of it is you know, anecdotally, we knew that our programs were impactful and meaningful and had positive health outcomes for the clients. But having gone through COVID and seeing that day program where folks couldn't come every day or every other day, and they were sitting at home and they were socially isolated, you really saw what our program meant to them and their families, because they lost it for all intents and purposes for a period of time. Because despite, you know, the work we did, it was not a replacement for the work that we were doing before Sure. we were closed. So at this point, we're not back to pre-COVID levels of participants. So we have room for more. Folks are a little slow to come back. I think there's still a level of concern in the community around COVID. And just as we start to get everything stabilized, there's a resurgence. And, you know, so we're, you know, what, Omicron Beta 2 now, I think, is the one that we're just coming through at this point. So we're still not back to pre-COVID levels. And things are just a little bit slower in coming back from that. But overall, I think that there is still a need for the services we provide. I still think there's a demand. It's just a matter of getting to those folks and getting them in.
Are you seeing a growth in your services, Jen?
Yes, and it's again, if we go back to the behavioral health side, there's definitely an increase in demand for that. And I think that we've also seen a more general societal acceptance of the fact that folks have mental health struggles. And, you know, your mental health is equivalent to your physical health. You know, you go to the doctor every year to get a checkup. You know, mental health issues are not any more or less significant than a physical health issue, and that, you know, it shouldn't carry a weight or a sense of or stigma around it. And I think we're seeing an easing of that stigma around mental health issues. So there is definitely an increase in demand across that board. And I think that we're as I said, our numbers are down in our day program, but I think the need is still there. It's just a matter of getting to the folks and getting them into the program. But I think there's also some shift in the way that caregivers are viewing some of this as well. I think that I haven't seen specific numbers around it, but I speculate a little bit that some of this the folks not reentering the workforce is related to caregiving. Whether it's they've realized that they have to stay home to caregive, or whether they don't see all the options available, or they've opted to not be a dual income family anymore. I think that there are caregiving demands out there, and they just aren't quite reaching us yet.
So what do you do to get those people to come in that are in need and perhaps are a little hesitant or not sure whether they should go in or not? How do you convince them that you're there to help them?
Well, so oftentimes we try and get them to come in and just do a tour. Any inquiry we get, we often will ask them to come in and just tour our facility, get a sense of what the program looks like, and meet some of the staff and get an idea of what it is. And then depending on how they can either afford or pay for their program or for the program, it sends us in different directions. So right now, Medicare does not pay for adult day services, and so it's not an option for folks strictly on Medicare. However, Medicaid does, and there are some programs out there that would help support somebody that has financial need to get into our program. But in order to go through that process, they have to get there's a process to it that includes other organizations besides ours. So Senior Service Associates is a large organization, does a lot of good work with seniors in multiple counties in Illinois. And they would be that point where we would say, all right, if you're needing support for that, this is where you would go, and then you'd start their process and then come back to us. There are some long-term care insurances that pay for adult day services. The VA pays for adult day services. So it really, the starting point is to get an understanding of what their needs are, and if it's more than what we're able to provide at that particular point, we refer them on and get them into some other steps.
So if someone wanted to come and see you, what is your location? Where would they go?
So for that program, we have two locations. Both are in Woodstock for that adult day program, and then for behavioral health as well. Predominantly, it's out of our location on Seminary, which is Route 47 in Woodstock. So we're on the north side of Woodstock, right by the McHenry County Courthouse. We have some behavioral health, and then our physical, speech, and occupational therapies are on Washington Street in Woodstock. So if you're familiar with Woodstock, you go to the Dairy Queen, which is my point of reference for almost everything, by the way. And you take a left and you go up past the Dairy Queen.
So if they wanted to reach you, is there a main number to call, Jen?
Yeah, I would call our seminary number and start there first. So it's 815-338-3590. Use that as the first entry point, and then from there we can figure out how to best direct them.
So let's do that number one more time.
All right, it's 815-338-3590.
And just someone will answer, and they'll give mm-hmm. directions from there
yep.
then. Okay. Now, some of the programs you have, you get into speech therapy and things like that. Can you go into some of those different programs that you have available?
So we have physical, speech, and occupational therapy, that's that core service out of our Washington Street location, and it's for all ages. So we have clients and patients as young as 4 weeks old to 97 years old, and they're coming in for any number of reasons. Some of it is just typical childhood delays. You're not talking as early as you could or should. It could be that somebody's living with a developmental disability, and so we see a lot of kids and some adults with that. So folks that have cerebral palsy, where we work with that population. We have kids with Fragile X syndrome. We have kind of runs the gamut. Autism, folks on the spectrum will come in and get services. And so each of the disciplines has a different focus. So physical therapy is gross motor skills, helping them walk and helping them move. If you're having recovery from a knee surgery or a hip replacement, that would be our physical therapist. Occupational therapy is more about fine motor skills, and then the skills of kind of almost like the daily living skills, buttoning your shirt or handwriting, and then speech language. Our speech language pathologist, the work she does is on communication. So it could be talking, it could be swallowing, it could be using a device to communicate. So those are the kind of some of the predominant areas that she works in.
Just a reminder, folks, you're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio station. For more information, go to huntleyradio.com, click on Contact Us, and we'll be happy to answer any of your questions. Once again, I'm going to go back to John Buckley, and John's bringing us up to date on what his organization is doing. John, besides the speech therapy, what about some of the other areas? And I should ask you, too, your staff, how large is the staff in the two
We have about 60 folks on staff right now. It's a mix of full and part-time. We have the clinical staff, the behavioral health counselors. We have the speech language pathologists, the occupational therapists, the physical therapists. And then we have our day program staff, and of course administrative staff, because you can't operate a business without the administrative component. So that kind of makes up that staff.
What about your adult day and memory care programs? Because that seems to be something that's happening to a lot of folks as they age.
So that's that adult day services that I was talking about before. And so that's staffed. It's a medical model. So we have two nurses on staff that provide some medical oversight and support to the clients, medication management. Our staff in that program are predominantly CNAs, but not exclusively. And we aim for a 5-to-1 ratio of staff or clients to staff. And that really is a full day experience for the folks that are participating. So we offer transportation. So we will pick up the client at their house, drive them in. We have buses, and people hopefully have seen them around town. When they get to the program, we get them off the bus, get them inside. They have coffee and breakfast, and then start to run through a day of activities. So yesterday's activities included a current events. It included mind and body, so getting in tune with their physical self and their emotional self. So we do some meditation, we do some exercises, we have art therapy, we have music therapy. It runs kind of we try and do a little bit different every day. They have lunch and they have a snack, and then we put them on the bus at the end of the day and take them back home to their loved one.
How far is your reach in the community here? Because I'm sure you do more than just Woodstock, but how far is that reach?
We do all of McHenry County and a little bit beyond. So we are in the Northern Kane for that day program, down to Carpentersville, in that area, a little bit into the Elgin area. And then, so that's kind of the reach for that program. Predominantly the others are, everything's predominantly McHenry County, but it's not exclusive to McHenry County. So if somebody needs that service and can make it to our facility for physical speech or occupational therapy, or if they need the behavioral health support, you know, we're not exclusive to, but we're predominantly McHenry County.
So you have to generate a lot of funds to be able to support this staff, I would think.
It is. We're at about a $3 million annual budget right now. And so we are fortunate in the support we get from the county to for the different programs. And then the fees make up a portion of it. But we do a fair amount of, and a significant amount, really, of fundraising to make this happen. It would not happen without the philanthropic support. You know, we do charge, you know, fees or we get reimbursed fees by insurance companies. But the reality is that, especially on the Medicaid side, it's not a market, let alone covering any costs. You know, right. the reimbursement rate is not sufficient to operate a for-profit enterprise off of, which is why for-profit enterprises don't do what we do in the way we do it.
John, you want to talk about your new caregiver support initiative?
So last fall, we rolled out a new caregiver program that's really geared for caregivers of anybody of all ages. And so you could be somebody who's caring for their child, their spouse, their parent. And it really is just to provide education, advocacy, and support to caregivers. There was a study done by the Harvard Business School that was released in early 2019. So it's 3 years old, but I don't think it's outdated at all. And it looked at specifically the impact of caregiving on employers and employees. And employers had a perception that that their employees' caregiving needs affected about maybe a third of the staff. The study showed that 70% of the staff said that caregiving needs impacted their work, that they were distracted at work, or they had to take phone calls at work, or that they had to quit work or had to take vacations. And so there was a disconnect between what the impact of the caregiving demand was, between what the employer felt it was and what the employee felt it was. And in, you know, if you extrapolate the numbers from that study at a national level down to McHenry County, there are 40,000 unpaid caregivers in McHenry County, which is, that's a significant number of people who are caring for a loved one or caring for somebody in an unpaid way. And so that means there are 40,000 households or 40,000 families or 40,000 folks, employees, who are trying to manage their caregiving needs on an ongoing basis with some support, but not necessarily enough support. And so we looked at that. We looked at the expanding needs and demands on some of the pediatric families that we are serving through our physical speech occupational therapy program, and felt like that there was a need there to help provide support to caregivers. And education is part of our mission, and so one of the first things that we've done is last summer, and then now we're in the second iteration of this, is we are offering caregiver courses, education and action plan courses. So the next one is June 16th, and it'll be at our location up in Seminary in Woodstock. And that one is focused on technology and the safe use of technology. And so we'll have somebody come in, speak to the group, and then provide that. And so it's a 5-6 course series. You can find out information about it through our Facebook page or our website, that really is geared to help caregivers and provide support and education to caregivers as they're trying to maneuver through, you know, life.
And what's the timeline? In other words, it's a 5-6 course. Is it an hour per course?
It's about an hour and a half per course, and it's once a month. So, and we alternate, this one we alternate between our location and the Woodstock Public Library. So it goes back and forth between. So this one in June is at our location. The one in July will be at the public library.
And the caregiving subject, 40,000, that's quite a number. But and you also had information from the Harvard Business Review, correct?
Yeah.
On that.
So that was the Harvard Business Review was talking at the national level, but then when you take it down to our local level, you're talking about 40,000, and 25% of that unpaid caregiver are millennials, and so these are folks that are younger in their career, and kind of as a through the study, they discovered that that particular piece of that caregiving population was actually spending more of their own money in support of their person that they're giving care to than kind of the older caregivers. And so not only are they having probably less support, but they're spending more of their own personal resources to try and make this work. And so we're really trying to get out and hopefully connect with caregivers at all points and provide that level of support to guide them to the resources they need, to provide education and training, to help them maneuver through and just feel like there's a place for them.
It's a monumental task doing that work. I mean, there's a lot of effort, mm-hmm. a lot of time, and a lot of energy, and a lot of dedication on the part of your staff, too.
I've got a great staff. You know, I interviewed somebody today for a position, and, one of the things that she commented on was how nice everybody was, and that, and that really is, we want to have, and we do have a great staff that are outwardly focused, making sure the client is cared for. The two of the values we have as an organization, one is the care for the client, and the second is that we care for the family, because no condition, no client issue is singularly to the client. It affects the family. And so that really is two of the driving values we have as we do the work we do.
Well, for those people too, that's a dedication. You have to be someone that understands what the job is, what it entails, and be dedicated mm-hmm. to it. And it takes a certain type of person to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, the person I interviewed today really has had a career of focusing and giving support and caring for. And, that's at the end of the day, I think everybody that works for Independence Health and Therapy wants to be there because they know they're making an impact in the community.
That's quite a feat. I mean, that's really something, to be honest with you, John. And before we run out of time here, I wanted to just touch base on one more thing, your community involvement with the Rotary Club of Woodstock and the Board of Leadership for Greater Community McHenry County.
So I am a member of the Rotary Club of Woodstock. I've been a member 9 years now, and I was a Rotarian in Naperville before that. And, I'm a big fan of Rotary, and I was a past president of our club, and I'm co-chair of Christmas Clearinghouse, which is our largest service project is Christmas Clearinghouse, and we do home-delivered food and baskets and presents to about 1,100 families that are connected in through District 200 and live in the Woodstock, kind of Wonder Lake, a little bit of Wonder Lake area. But it's a great organization, and I've been very proud and lucky to be part of it these last 9 years.
John, how do you identify those families in need? Like, say, 1,100 families, how do you identify...
We work closely with the school district and the community partners, different nonprofits that serve that part of Woodstock and that part of Wonder Lake. And so we start that process in the fall, around, first, second week of October, start working with those organizations. It's a lot of list work. We get submissions in. We do some communication back out to confirm that people do indeed want to be part of this program and that they do have that need. We have folks that are contacted and said, I needed it last year, but I'm back to work now and I don't need that. Thank you very much. Give it to somebody else. We've done toy drives and donation drives, and folks who, were part of, recipients 10, 15 years ago are bringing in toys and donations because they knew that, we helped them at a point get through a hard part in their time in their life, and they're coming back to pay it forward, as it were.
So those toys and donations, how do you get the word out so people know what is you're looking for?
Well, so it's we do a lot through Facebook. That's one of our prime communication channels, and some of it, quite honestly, is word of mouth and history. We've been doing Christmas Clearinghouse since 1972, So, you know, this will be the 51st time we've done Christmas Clearinghouse. And it was started a couple years before that. So it's really the Girl Scouts and Woodstock started it, but we took it over in 1972. So there's people that this is their annual holiday tradition is to collect toys or to collect money or to deliver or to pack. You know, it's as much Christmas for a lot of people as any other tradition.
So if someone out there wants to help you out and they're not on Facebook, what would they do? How would they go about it?
If they're not on Facebook, if they're web savvy, they could check out our webpage. We've got a couple of different web pages that information is on. Otherwise, if they want to call, we don't really have an access phone number, but, you know, the number I gave out earlier today for Independence Health and Therapy, they could just give that a call, and it'll eventually get to me, and we can sort out how that would go.
Okay. Well, thank you, John. Just a reminder to everybody for sharing your time with us. We really appreciate that. You've been listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. John Buckley's been our guest today, and we thank John for joining us and for all you folks out there. Any questions we can answer for you, please let us know. In the meantime, have a great day.